Joshua Harris, have you guys heard of him? Author of I Kiss Dating Goodbye, a former pastor of a mega church in Maryland, renounced his faith, saying, I have undergone a massive shift in regards of my faith in Jesus. The popular phase is deconstruction, and we'll get to that in a little while. The biblical phase is falling away. By all measures, I have, for defining a Christian, I am not a Christian. Next person, Dave Gass, the former pastor of Grace Family Fellowship, pastor at Covenant Church and Cedar Community Church, took to social media and announced after 40 years of being a devout follower, 20 of those being an evangelical pastor, I am walking away from the faith. Even though this has been a massive bomb drop, he says, in my life, it has been decades in the making. The latest high-profile Christian personality to renounce his faith is Paul Maxwell, the well-known Desiring God writer. Maxwell said on an Instagram feed, what I really miss is connection with people. What I've discovered is that I'm ready to connect again, and I'm kind of ready not to be angry anymore. I love you guys, and I love all the friendships and support I build. And I think it's important to say that I'm just not a Christian anymore. Sad, sad news of people in the faith. So I asked myself, how do these men forgot and fell away from knowing the significance of Christ's return? Is it possible that they were not seeking God's word, or just false teachers from the beginning and not truly saved? So I'll pose a question to you today. How should we as Christians look at the significance of Christ's return in the world in which we live in today? And I want to give you three truths. First one is by staying in God's word. Second is to be mindful of false prophets. And the last is knowing that the Lord is patient, not wanting any should perish, but all should be saved. And I try to get through here as quickly as possible because I remember a dear brother last time I was here, when I was almost finished, he walked away. He said he reminded me that I'm preaching too long. No, I'm just joking. But I try to keep it short and be respectful of your time, so I will try to get you out of here before 2 o'clock, okay? All right, so let us turn our Bibles back again to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. But before I begin, I would just like to open us again in a word of prayer. Father God, Lord, we come to you today, Lord. First of all, Lord, we are thankful of your mercies, of your grace. Lord, we thank you for Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, Father God. We thank you for your word. And Father God, as I go through your word this morning, Father, let it be you, Father, that be glorified today. And may that I be clear and so that this audience can understand me, Father. And I pray for the audience today as well, Lord, that their minds and their hearts be open. I thank you, Lord, for our vets that have served, Lord God, and thank you for the ones that are not here as well. Again, be with their families as they remember them this day, and Lord, may you be glorified, as again I mentioned. So, Lord, we thank you. We ask you all these things. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. It says, Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of remember, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, that the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers or false teachers will come in the last days walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world that then exists perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are preserved for fire into the day of judgment and prediction of ungodly men. For beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering or patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, that all succumb to repentance or saving faith. So before I begin, I want to give you some background on the book of 2 Peter. So here, 2 Peter is actually writing to believers to remind them to be about false teachers. Be on the lookout, be very careful, because there are false teachers out here. But before Peter talks about the Lord is coming back and remind them of false teachers, he sets a good footprint for the believers there. In chapter 1, you don't have to turn there, but in the beginning of chapter 1, Peter reminds the believers of where their source come from. And I think us as believers today, we need to be mindful of where our source come from when we are combating against false teachers or anything in the world. So Peter says in the beginning of chapter 1, he says, for God's divine power has given us all things for life and godliness. So his divine power he has given us, the knowledge of him, he says in chapter 1, his precious promise and to be partakers of his divine nature. God has given us all things to be prepared to go out here in the world for this world here and to come. And then moving along, Peter says shortly after that, that now that God hath given us all these things, I want you to now to grow or spiritually mature. And he says, but for this very reason, giving all diligence or make every effort to grow in your faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And if you do these things, as he mentioned later on in the right after that, he said, you will never be unfruitful or stumble in verses 8, 9, and 10. So Peter is setting up the footprint, the plan, and saying, okay, God has given us all these things. Now I want you to grow in these things, and you won't stumble and fall away because false prophets are coming, and they are here. And then in chapter 2, he gives the character of these false prophets and also in very detail, and we're going to get to that. And that is when he switches over to chapter 3 in the beginning, and he says, the Lord is coming back. So not only did he prepare them and set up a footprint, he reminded them in very graphic detail about the false prophets, and then we're going to be attacking chapter 3. So again, I want to give you these several truths of the significance of Christ's return from verses 1 through 9 in chapter 3. And that is, again, to be mindful to stay in God's word, to be mindful of false teachers, and to be mindful how patient God is for people to be saved. So let us look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Let's be mindful to stay in God's word. It says, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both to which I steer your pure minds by way of remember, that you may be mindful or to recall the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. First thing Peter says is that I want to stir up your minds. The word stir up means to wake fully or to arouse. I hope to arouse your minds today about the coming of the Lord and God's word. Amen. So, and he mentioned this not only in this chapter, but also the chapter prior to this. In chapter one, he says, "Yes, I think it is right as long as I am in this tent to stir up by reminding you." So these were genuine questions that Peter wanted to arouse their minds by God's word. And how did he do that? He did that by pointing them back to God's word. The second part of 2 Peter 3, verse 2, it says, "Of which the words were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." If you guys can turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 for me for a second. See, Peter was pointing them back to God's word. And he said, first of all, I want to remind you of what the prophets said. I want you to get in God's word. I want you to be pointed back to what the prophets said. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. It says, "Of this salvation, the prophets has inquired and searched carefully who prophesies of the grace that will come to you, searching what or what manner of time the spirits of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified before the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desired to look into." Talking about prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Abraham, Jacob, all those prophesying about the Lord's return. And not only that, he talks about not only the prophets, but the apostles, Peter being one of them. Look at 2 Peter, verses 1 through 16. He was pointing them back to God's word. He said, "For we did not follow cunningly devised faith when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And when we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain." And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in dark places until the day dawns, until the morning star rises.